Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us. In the first hour, we spoke with Ryan Schmelz from Capitol Hill to get a latest update on all of the maneuvering going on as Donald Trump continues to pick people and appoint people to his cabinet that will reshape the way Congress looks. And it's incredibly important that we pay attention to that. So you can listen to that on the podcast. But I want to get to our next guest right away here. Steve Moore is with us once again, distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, also an advisor to President Trump on economics. Welcome back to the show, Steve. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Annie. Great to be with you. And just a quick update. The president did ask me if I would be the Treasury Secretary of the United States. And I said, well, Mr. President, I don't think I can do that because I do the Annie Fry Show every Monday, and I'm not willing to give that up. So just so you know, that's how important you are to me.
Oh, Steve, that is, I don't know. That's good for us. Is it good for the country, though? I mean, come on, Steve. You'd be great at that. What do you think so far of the appointments that Donald Trump has made to his cabinet and his commitment to make America great again?
Well, I'll tell you the ones that I'm really enthusiastic about. I think Doug Holshore, who's the new Interior Secretary, fantastic guy, awesome. We're going to start developing all our mineral resources or our natural resources in this country. How many times have we talked about this on your show? And we have trillions of dollars of resources. Yeah. We have minerals, we have uranium, we have oil, we have gas, we have coal, we have nuclear power. We've got everything, you know, all the precious metals that you need for green energy and for, you know, weapon systems, uranium you need for nuclear power. We've got that all in the United States. So why is it for the last 5 or 6 years we've been importing this stuff when we have it here in the United States? So we're going to do that. He's going to be fantastic. I think we should start selling off some of the Western lands that are non-environmentally sensitive. Mm. And let, you know, we think about how much money we could make selling it, pay off the national debt, and use that land for productive purposes. We know that the worst possible landowner in the world is the United States government. These are the people who allowed millions and millions of acres of important trees and forests to be burned down. What doesn't happen when you have private, you know, custody of these lands. And then this new Chris Wright, who's going to run the Energy Department, fantastic guy. I love him, love, love, love him. I think Marco Rubio will be an excellent Secretary of State. So on balance, I'm very pleased. You know, the two that I care the most about our Treasury Secretary, and by the way, folks, I was joking.
He's going to call you now.
The National Economic Commission. And, that's been, you know, a delayed decision. I think, you know, literally any hour or any day now, we could have that decision. But the main thing is whoever gets those positions has to help us get that tax bill through. You know, the one that Art Laffer and Larry Kudlow and I wrote, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, we passed it into law. It's been a huge success. But a lot of it goes away if we don't make it permanent in 2025.
We're speaking with Steve Moore right now here on the Annie Fry Show. I want to go back to something you brought up because I think it's a very key thing that not many people either know about or understand, which is the importance of government ownership of American land. Why does the government own so much land? What's the purpose of that?
Well, good question. And by the way, you're there in Missouri. Are you, you're east of the Mississippi, right, or west of the Mississippi?
Well, I can see the Mississippi, like Sarah Palin. Okay. I can see the Mississippi from my studio. I live
in
Illinois.
You're on the Mississippi River.
Yes.
I wasn't sure which side of it you're on. But
yes,
if you look at everything east of the Mississippi, that's almost all of that is privately owned. West of the Mississippi, half of that land is government owned. And so you've got these massive amounts of lands and nothing happens with it. As I said, all they allow to happen on those lands is for big forest fires to happen. Can you imagine? By the way, if you're concerned about climate change, it's not something that keeps me up at night, but I have many smart friends who really worry about it. The worst possible thing, you know, those forest fires have emitted more carbon in the atmosphere than all the cars on the road. So maybe if we stop forest fires, but the Forest Service can't do that. Do you think private owners are going to let their forest burn down?
No. I mean, I would assume that they'd have a vested interest.
Would you let their house burn down? I mean, come on. People are better custodians of the property when they own it themselves.
Energy, you talked about the energy secretary appointment, but I mean, we have for years now gone back to Joe Biden's day one initiative to shut down the Keystone Pipeline to battle against energy. How important is the drill baby drill mentality or whatever that all entails to getting us back into an economically stable place?
Well, that's huge. I mean, it's huge because number one, you get those resources that we need. Number two, you get the money. So if the federal government starts leasing those lands, Because a lot of those oil lands are on federal lands as well. If they're not sold, at least the federal government don't even think they should lease the land to the drillers so they could go down there and get that oil. I mean, why does it make more sense to get oil from Russia than getting it from, you know, North Dakota or South Dakota? I mean, it just doesn't even make any sense to me. So we're going to get after that. I think we're going to be able to produce 2 or 3 million more barrels a day. And if my math is correct, that's another, you know, $150 billion, $1 million a day that the United States gets and that we don't send to our enemies. That's a big one. And then the other thing, by the way, when you ask me about the presidential appointments, the thing I'm probably most excited about, Annie, is the Elon Musk
yes.
Presidential Government Efficiency Commission. We haven't had something like that in 35 years. And Reagan had one in 1984, so it's been 84. That's, if my math is right, that's 40 years
yeah.
that we have not had
that's when
a
I was
commission
born.
Like this.
That's
I think
my whole
we can
life.
Identify hundreds of billions of dollars of waste, hundreds of billions. I mean, we got programs that date back to the World War One. We don't even know what they do anymore. We give them money every year.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have talked many times about how Republicans have had no problem spending money when they've had the levers of power as well. That you have to have somebody who's politically brave enough to go out mm-hmm. and say that our national debt, trillions and trillions, yeah. 30 plus trillions of dollars, is a national security problem.
It is.
And it seems as though the Trump administration is going to be able to do something about that. Can I ask you about tariffs before we let you go? Because it's been a huge part of what Donald Trump has said leading up to the election. He obviously won. He's talked about tariffs not as much as a policy, but as an avenue to get good policy. Can mm-hmm. you talk to us about the basic understanding of what a tariff is and how Donald Trump intends to use them?
Well, of course, a tariff is just a tax that's imposed on an import that comes in the United States. So if China wants to bring semiconductors in the United States, they ship them in or they fly them in on a plane. When they come in, you exact a tax. And by the way, that's nothing new about this. From the time the United States was born as a nation in the 1780s, we had tariffs, you know, and that's how we funded the government. Now, I'm a free trade guy. I don't want excessive tariffs, but I think having a policy of, you know, maybe 10-15% tariff on things that come in. And then here's the thing. If we do that, but then we say, okay, if you produce something in Missouri or Michigan or Ohio, we're going to give you a lower tax. I kind of like that idea.
Does that make Made in America more affordable?
I would think so.
Yeah.
And it would mean that less of... Now, look, as I said, I think free trade is important, and I think it's important that we are able to bring in goods and services from the rest of the world. But I think we should just tilt the table a little bit, Annie, and this is what Trump thinks, tilt the table to things that are made with American workers.
Yes, yes, and create jobs and
yeah.
balance the way that we consume our goods and get great
exactly.
quality products made here instead of shipped in by people
yep.
who hate us. Steve Moore, thank you. We love having you. If you do get the call for Treasury Secretary, it is the Annie Frye Show patriotic duty.
If he asked me to do a job, I say, well, I'm not giving up doing the Annie Frye Show. Okay.
Yeah, we will all sacrifice, right. but we love having you here, and we're thankful for your time again today. Bye-bye. Distinguished fellow in economics at Heritage Foundation, also a Donald Trump economic advisor, probably not legitimately asked to be the Treasury Secretary, but if he were, we would be happy to make that sacrifice here. It's really cool that we get to speak with him and have for so long. He's a Chicago guy, and he I don't know when the last time he was in Chicago was, but he cares about Illinois. And I don't think that we're going to get into this a little bit this week, but the going back to an X's and O's question with you, Ryan Wiggins, from last week, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York City. I remember those four cities now.
Yeah.
When it's useless to me.
You got it.
Because I messed it up on X's and O's. The shift to red from in the electorate from this past election in these super, super blue areas, I think is pretty compelling. I think that there's something that needs to be paid attention to here, and economically, it's got to be the number one reason why. Economics and safety. Two really compelling reasons for people in a change election, which this is, in the state of Illinois, where we are going to be ramping up seeing people start saying, I'm going to run for governor, I'm going to run for governor, I'm going to run for governor. Economics, safety. Potential victory.
that's what I'm hearing candidates run on across the board. I mean, that's economics and safety. Immigration is another big one, but immigration affects economics and safety.
Yeah, it's if immigration weren't causing the issues in those other two places, I don't think people would care as much.
Right. And so when you see people who are typically reliably blue voters out there complaining, stirring up trouble, not just saying, I don't like this, but stirring up trouble because they're so mad about it, you know that there's something there. And in Illinois, I'm not saying that we're the next to flip. You know, I mean, there are people saying, well, Republicans should be focused on New Jersey and Virginia more. Great. But we have a chance to run on real issues. And even if there's no big victories, those issues have to be made front and center regardless.
Here's what folks are saying in Chicago directly to Brandon Johnson. Brandon Johnson just tried to push a $300 million, was it a property tax hike or something?
Yeah.
Well, you know, property taxes in Chicago are low, so
they can afford it.
They can afford it.
People stay in because they love the low taxes.
This is what constituents in Brandon Johnson's jurisdiction have to say to him.
Good afternoon.
I want to know, how does it feel that Trump is in office right now? You see the... Okay. You see the Mayor Brandon Johnson... You underestimate us. You underestimate the black people, and you underestimate Chicago Red. We're the thorn in y'all's side, and we're going to be the thorn on everybody else in this council member's side, too. Right. If you don't stop what you're doing, we're going to take matters in our own hand, and we're going to stop it. You know that Trump had pulled 45% of the voter in the state of Illinois, 37 in the city of Chicago? That's the statistic. That means that Illinois is turning purple. We're going to turn red.
Y'all can bird dog me all y'all want, but if it's relationship over duty, then y'all don't serve the blue. And you can smirk all you want.
Mr. Sims, direct your attention towards me, please.
You a criminal. Why do I got to address you? The feds need to address you. DOJ need to address you. And hopefully Donald Trump will address you. Because you're going to protect the undocumented. Why you going to allow for the citizens in the Chicago to suffer under your, what, 33%? Well, see, Joe Lopez cooked that 3% up a long time ago. Y'all called it a circuit breaker. Y'all been talked about it. Remember, before you came in here and gave that jovial speech, you need to be inspected. You and that creep over there.
You. Acting like, you know, you just going to bully everybody. You got people... What, officers whose families don't even want you to come to the funeral? You just like a schoolyard bully. That at some point, and you might not know nothing about it because you grew up in Elgin, but those of us who grew up on the south side and west side of Chicago, we all know at some point that bully gets cornered in the alley. And everybody come at him. And he ain't gonna have nobody to help him. That's you. That's you. Keep thinking you ain't gonna abide by what the President of the United States said. Everybody know better than that. I see you, Anna Valencia, in your red. You know what it is. This is the second time you showed up in city council in red. You know what it is? Yeah. Yeah.
Does it matter that she's wearing red?
It does. It does. She wears a lot of red, too.
These people are mad. They're going deep into some stuff here. Shots fired at Elgin. Elgin's just sitting there going, hey.
Wait a minute. Yeah. We weren't involved in this.
What did I ever do to you?
Yeah.
You know, they're directing this at Pritzker, or at Brandon Johnson, but it's Pritzker that is out there saying a lot of the same stuff. He's saying it statewide, though. Brandon Johnson's saying it for Chicago. We are here to fight against what you just voted for.
It's their purpose now.
Yeah.
They feel like they have a clear mandate. What do the lefties keep saying? We're clear-eyed.
14% rating is what you appear to have, Brandon Johnson, across the United States, or how they see you. But 14% rating. Now, I'm going to talk about all those known donations of $11.5 million that came from places like the CTU, the SEIU, the American Federation of Teachers, Illinois Federal Federation of Teachers, and then someone got the nerve to get on there and talk about cutting their pensions. What about our real estate? Because, see, we paid for these properties for a purpose and not for you to go touching it with $300 million that you want to siphon out of the citizens' pockets. Get rid of the illegals, and that'll take your money right back.
There's an awakening happening in America.
Listen, there is a part of me that gets nervous when she says illegals, but that's what it is.
Yes.
That's what it is. And if you want to refer to the illegal immigrants that you've invited and coddled into the state of Illinois that are siphoning off Illinois taxpayer dollars to provide for them, whatever it is that is going to attract more of them. And then J.B. Pritzker, Governor J.B. Pritzker, you go on to a news conference with your fists up like you're going to win some sort of fight saying that those are your people. No, J.B. Pritzker, I'm your people. I fund this stupid government that you're running here in the state of Illinois. And people listening right now are your people. And you don't give a rat's patoot about those people whose money you feel that you have the ability to take. Meanwhile, your Scrooge McDuck and your gold doubloons fix the problem yourself if you believe so much in it. Stop running the state of Illinois into the ground. Become a philanthropist. Create some sort of entity where you can house and feed these illegal immigrants on your own dime because you are the one who can afford it. I can't afford it. I'm trying to house and feed four children that I am independently with my husband trying to take care of without trying to take any more assistance from anybody else who might need it who is in the state of Illinois and a legal resident of this country. J.B. Pritzker, you got the wrong people, and you are the wrong person for the job. And Illinois has the opportunity, when you listen to these people at this city council meeting with their frustrations boiling over at Mayor Brandon Johnson, J.B. Pritzker, you're next. You are right there in that same capacity that people have frustration that you don't get it. Or, even worse, you do get it, and you know you can get away with it. I am begging the state of Illinois to put forth a candidate for governor in the 2026 cycle who will prioritize the economy and the safety and security of the citizens of Illinois. I am as pro-life as it gets, but you are not going to win the governorship of Illinois by making that your lead issue. You are not going to win the governorship of Illinois as a Republican on what has now been culturally deemed social issues. Economy, safety, done. That doesn't mean that you are pro-choice. It just means that you're not going to win that election if you prioritize those things and demean people who disagree with you. A pro-choice or a pro-life governor who does not make that their main issue in the next election will protect babies more if they win than this lunatic J.B. Pritzker and a supermajority of Democrats in the General Assembly will ever do. There is not a baby in utero that they won't willfully kill in the name of women's rights, which is really just a lobbyist group that continues to funnel money into their system of complete and complete control. I saw a meme on a TikTok video yesterday, and it was on X because I'm not on TikTok, and it was a female talking, and she said, "If your uterus has more kills than my AR-15, then maybe we have the wrong target."
Wow.
So yeah, that should be the mantra and the understanding moving forward. If you want to fix abortion, you've got to go after the culture first. You've got to provide solutions for women who can choose life. Remind them that they can choose life. But when it comes to the government, it has to be economical. It has to be for safety and security. And we have to get people to understand that the Republicans can handle these things without constantly pushing in the face of everybody else what they need to do socially, because the work needs to be done right now today, not in 2026, but on Monday, November 18th, 2024, to change the culture, to make sure that people understand that life does exist in the womb. And it is valuable. It is priceless. It is worthy of protection. Do not sit on your hands and wait for the right man or woman to get elected into office to confirm that that is the actual truth. Let's take a quick break. Mark Cox is going to be with us. He is having an ATF raffle Do you know a lot about this? He's done this before. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's an annual event.
Yes. He's going to tell us about it and how you can participate. We love Mark on this show. Mark likes to text Ryan Wiggins from time to time during the show.
During the show is great.
He's usually agreeing with you over me when he
Well,
does.
I think he also sometimes
or
thinks
Or you're
of
just
something,
making it up.
Well, maybe that's also true, but you can ask him that next if you want to.
Mark Cox on The Annie Fry Show coming up next.
com/Annie.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Very excited to bring our next guest on, Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Everybody here knows Mark. Mark, thanks for being with us today. Good to have you.
Thank you, Annie. It's a great day in America. Thanks for having me on.
Do you frolic through the day now, Mark? How do you feel post-election?
I've just kind of been walking on air. I am to the point where I'm trying not to gloat. But I'm still having a great day. Let's just put it that way.
Are you gloating? Are you a gloater?
I have gloated occasionally since election evening, I'll have to say, after I caught up on my sleep. I was so pumped that night. I was working on about 2.5 hours of sleep when I came to work the next day.
Yeah.
And it didn't hit me till about 7 or 8 o'clock the next afternoon. It was that great.
If we were like the fringe side of the liberal movement, we would have to have like special rooms where we could all go in and just privately gloat together to get it out of our, like, a gloat fest, and then we could re-enter
yes.
into civilization just to get it off your chest. But
sort of a safe space, right?
Yeah, safe space for safe Trump victories.
For gloating.
You have this really cool thing taking place right now, the First Responder Thanksgiving ATF raffle. Tell me what this is and what our listeners can do to A, support what you're doing, and B, win some pretty sweet stuff.
Yeah, your listeners helped me out a lot last year, as I remember, as we got near the end of this. So for a number of years now, in November, we've been supporting a charity called Responder Rescue. They are there when first responders get injured in the line of duty. You know, Backstoppers helps when somebody's killed in the line of duty. Responder Rescue steps in if somebody's injured and, let's say, they can't pay a heating or cooling bill or a medical bill or something like that. They step in and they write a check. And I'm trying to do all I can for them. Again, this year we're having they're sponsoring this raffle. We call it the ATF raffle, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. So those are the three prizes. A basket of bourbon that I put together, courtesy of a lot of people. My friends at Lore Wine and Spirits donated a bunch. Various friends, Stolock Whiskey. For people who are bourbon fans, they'll recognize a few names. There's Weller Antique 107. There's a Midwinter's Night Dram in there. There's a Blanton's Gold. It's about $1,500 worth of bourbon. The numbers keep growing. People keep donating bottles. So it's that plus a Robert Thomas Blues jersey, a signed jersey by Robert Thomas.
Nice.
So that's the basket of booze. And then separately, there's a gun that's been donated by the Range St. Louis West. It's a 9mm CMMG rifle. That's worth about $2,100 that they've donated out of the goodness of their hearts because they help me out all the time up there. And then finally, I've got a good friend, Brian Schneider, who runs a cigar lounge in Chesterfield. It's called Lit Cigar Lounge, and he's donated a night in their private room down there with cigars and a bottle of bourbon and a very nice box of hard-to-get cigars as well. And that's valued at about $1,000. So there'll be three winners. People have a chance to win one of those three prizes, and we'll pick a winner on Wednesday, the 27th, right before Thanksgiving.
Mark, I've seen some of these bottles of bourbon in the office that you and I share. Are you saying that I should leave those alone?
He's halfway through one right now.
I wondered how those got cracked open. Now I know, Ryan.
I was going to ask you what the retail value was because I wanted to see how much money I've drank.
You mean that you owe him?
Well, that Midwinter's Night Dram that you broke into, that's probably about a $250 bottle, something like that.
That is So if somebody buys a raffle ticket right now, you're saying people continue to donate, and so what you have listed may not even be the fullness of the prize that they would win.
Right. I mean, we had to stop at some point with the descriptions, but I do keep getting bottles added all the time, and I need to probably update my list a little bit. I'm trying to do it on the air every day, but it's pretty simple. I mean, the tickets are only $1 a piece, but the minimum purchase is 10. We do it through an online organization called Rally Up. So all the money goes to the charity. You can do it right on your phone. You can text the word responder to 33100. It's pretty easy. And it sends you a text, and once you click on it, it takes you right to the page. Or you can just go to our website at 971talk.com, and there's a link on there as well. And for people that go to the range, you can buy them in the store there at the Range St. Louis West.
Mark, what does the value do of that bottle that Ryan Wiggins was drinking from his lips straight out of the bottle? Does that increase the value, or what?
I left lipstick on it. What does that do?
I think that would definitely increase the bottle. If I could get Wiggins to sign it, that would make it worth even more money, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'll sign it in lipstick.
Mark, I want to encourage people to go and follow this as it continues to update. Are you updating it specifically on any of your social media accounts where people can follow you? I know the Mark Cox Morning Show Facebook page is very active. You're on Twitter as well. X, excuse me.
Yes, we're putting it. I put a link up there on Facebook. I probably need to refresh that because it's been a week, but I don't want people to have to dig too far in to find it. I'll probably need to pin it to the top of the page, but it's really easy on our website as well, 971talk.com. The First Responder Thanksgiving is one of the first things you see up there on the webpage. And really the text option has been a game changer. It's just so easy to text responder to 33100, and every dime, like the money goes straight into their account. Basically every dime goes straight to Responder Rescue. And like, just as an example, I had a guest on, I think it was a year and a half ago. It was a police officer. She had a bad case of like temporomandibular joint disorder, like where her jaw just, it was like, TMJ. It was like, so debilitating. She had to quit her job, and her insurance company there was a huge portion of the surgery they wouldn't cover, and Responder Rescue stepped in and paid for that. Ugh. So that it's given her life back.
Yeah.
And these are examples of the kind of things they do on a regular basis.
We're speaking with Mark Cox, the Mark Cox Morning Show. You can hear him weekdays from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1. When you were preparing for this election to happen, didn't know what was going to take place, we on this show here would look at everything that was presented to us and be like, there's no way that Trump should lose this. But you just couldn't, or at least we couldn't, trust what we were assessing enough compared to our concern about the ability for common sense to prevail. What were you thinking? How are you going to do 4 more years of covering Kamala Harris if she would have won?
Well, you know, Annie, I think the one thing about what we do is that it should be more clear than anything to everyone that you don't despise people in the mainstream media enough after the way this went down. Because right up until Election Day, a lot of media in this country would lead you to believe this thing was so close it could go either way.
Yeah.
And there is no way that they didn't know. They weren't seeing some of the same internal polling that the campaigns were. The Kamala Harris people certainly knew it but weren't going to talk about it. The Trump people were well aware that they were winning in all of these states. And virtually no one was being honest about it. And I think that's the value add that we bring to everyone, is that we were talking about those very issues and these polls that were outliers and about these demographic changes. I heard Ryan on there one day talking about the polls among Hispanics and African Americans, and all these things were trending toward Donald Trump in ways that the left was just in denial about.
Don't quote
and
Ryan
if you weren't
Wiggins
hearing it from
on
us,
the
you
show
weren't hearing it.
And give Ryan Wiggins credit for talking about polls.
He's the poll master.
Yeah, that's what he was doing before he came here.
Mark, when you come in tomorrow morning, you're going to have a nice, fresh signature right across your monitor.
In lipstick.
Yeah, thank you. In lipstick.
Last question.
And it'll be sloppy because I'll be drunk.
You are correct on that. The polls, and Ryan was always the leader on bringing those to the forefront so that we could read them. But it was just difficult to believe because of like what you were saying with the media and how they covered it. I wanted to ask you one question before we let you go about Trump's cabinet picks. Who's the best pick and who's the worst pick so far from Donald Trump?
Well, I got to be honest. If he hadn't made the selections he did, I would have been disappointed. He is a change candidate. I mean, the mandate was, yes, we like what you're saying. Let's see some of this change. And I think Trump committed himself to that. So, number one, I think his best pick so far has probably been RFK Jr. Yeah. for HHS. I mean, the guy, this morning I ran a bite with him talking about the dangers of 5G and the phone that's up against the side of my head right now. And I've never really heard much of a study. He said there are dozens of studies out there that are that show that that's a problem. Somebody hasn't been honest with us. Is it because they're owned by the industry that they represent? I don't know. It's just very strange. I think that's a great pick. I love Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. I think that's fantastic. Tom Homan,
yes,
to run to be the border czar. I mean, that guy's a bulldog. I've had him on. I met him at in Washington a couple years ago, and he walks like he's going into a strong wind, and you know he's going to approach that job the same way.
That's a great way to explain it. It is. He's 100% true. Whenever you see him, it's always Tom Homan. There's no posing in that regard. Are you a fan of Matt? Let me ask you this question. Will Matt Gaetz become the Attorney General?
I'm not sure that he will. I would certainly support him in that role because I've watched enough of those congressional hearings. They can slam that man up one side and down the other over what happened to Kevin McCarthy. But there's probably not anyone in Washington that's more bold than Matt Gaetz. And you have to have a change agent. You can't put somebody in there who's part of the establishment. If you do, nothing's going to happen. He would certainly shake things up. I just don't know that he makes it through a Senate confirmation.
Yeah, it's a weird appointment to me, but if he gets through, boy, buckle up, because it's going to be wild to cover for sure.
I would agree with that. Yeah, Ryan Priebus said that this weekend on, I think, the ABC show with Stephanopoulos or someone. But he was pointing that out. He goes, I talked to Donald Trump. This isn't a sleight of hand. He wants Matt Gaetz for that job because he wants to change things at the top of the Department of Justice, and he knows that Gaetz would get the job done.
Yeah. Well, one more time before we let you go. We'll be tuning in the mornings to listen to you, Mark, on the Mark Cox Morning Show. There's just so much news every single day, and it's fun because this is good news. Like, in large part, it's really fun to be going to work today. Give us the lowdown one more time on where people can come support the First Responder Thanksgiving ATF raffle, how they can support First Responder Rescue and also participate in this awesome opportunity to win some prizes from your raffle.
Yeah, thank you. Just the easiest way is to use your phone and text the word responder to 33100. They'll send you a link and you can buy your tickets right online. And they're only $1 a piece, but there's a $10 minimum purchase. If you buy 50, you get 55. So the more you buy, the more tickets you get. And we'll pick a winner on the 27th. If you're at the Range St. Louis West for some reason, you can buy tickets right in person, or you can go to our website at 971talk.com.
Text responder to 33100, and I'll just go out on a limb and say buy 1,200 tickets for $1,000 and just take care of it right there.
Awesome. Yes. That's how it works. That's right.
Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Annie.
Always appreciate you. Bye-bye. Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show. A little Annie Fry Show trivia. When I was first asked if I would be interested in trying the on-air thing, it was the program director who asked Mark Cox if he would care if a 32-year-old I was a coworker. I worked at the station, but I was always in the background. Could Annie sit in with you on Sunday nights? And Mark was just genuinely kind, was like, sure, no problem. Ryan, as you know, having been in the industries for quite some time, it's more rare to be like, sure, she can come into my show.
People usually don't want to share a spotlight. And so when you find people who are willing to, you know that they are. You know what's neat about Mark is that he is in it for the cause.
Completely.
And you know that is a fact with the minute you meet him.
Sharing the spotlight or sharing an office. How does he feel about that one?
I don't know about the office.
I saw him talking to Steve about his contract, and your name was mentioned, but I don't know.
Here's the thing,
about.
And I kind of alluded to this. I steal a lot. And, they have a word for that. It's kleptomania. And I suffer from that.
You're like, it's okay. It's a condition.
It's a condition. And I've identified it. And I'm going to be seeking out all of Odyssey's mental health awareness programs.
Well, you can take them?
No, I'm just going to look at them and see what they are while I sort of put stuff in my pockets.
Steal the pens.
Yeah.
The free pens and keychains.
Uh-huh.
I'm here for the free stuff.
But just as we said about Mark, he's a genuine guy. This is who I am.
You're genuinely a klepto. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Some puppy stuff going on in the live stream right now.
Yeah. And that is what it sounds like. It's not like we're not calling something puppy stuff. It's real puppies doing stuff.
So I'm adopting a puppy. We get to take her home in a week from tomorrow. And it's possible that Ryan might be adopting one too. What is the likelihood of this?
It all depends on my son's allergies. So we're going to have to bring him over.
This is just a really, really big ruse to snuggle my puppy.
That's true. I mean, I'll be there. I'll be snuggling that puppy too, just to make sure I'm not allergic.
Just to be sure.
But he has had dog allergies his whole life. And we didn't know that when he was born because we had a dog when we had our twins. And when he was born, he did this thing. We didn't know what to call it. We called it elephanting. Uh-oh. Because he would go as a baby. And we thought, oh, maybe looking back that he was having an allergic reaction to the dog. Although he also had it to formula. So we weren't ever really sure. He had to have like the special formula. So we've tried to adopt a dog in the past. A couple years ago, we went to a farm in central Illinois and just played with the puppies there and the dogs. And immediately we got in the car, hives.
Oh.
And so we thought, well, dog.
So it's not like, oh, I get sniffly. It's
real and it's instant. So we also, though, think that it's a possibility that. And those were hypoallergenic dogs. That's why we were so disappointed.
But they were outside?
The poodle mix, but they were outside. And they stayed in outside kennels. So we thought maybe it's because they're outside because he's been around inside dogs and not had the problems. So this is our final test is with your new puppy.
Joe says, and you still feed the kid dog treats?
That wasn't that kid, Joe. That's rude.
Yeah, Joe, what kind of father do you think he is? He fed his other kid the dog treats.
That's super rude. And plus, it's the dander.
Also very funny.
Has nothing to do with venison.
Don't act like...
I'm better than this.
You're hurt because it was a good joke.
I am hurt. Like I would do that to my son with dog allergy. I wouldn't feed him dog treats.
It was gluten-free.
I don't remember.
Well, you read everything on the package except for where it said Wild Bone Company and had dog stuff all over it.
I did read where it said Wild Bone Company. I thought it still sounded like a human treat.
By the way, you say in the video short of, if you haven't seen the video of Ryan talking about when he bought some discounted jerky from Deerberg's.
Yeah.
And ate it. Said it tasted terrible. Well, it's dog treats.
in the people food section.
In that video, Ethan and Brad are giving you crap because it says Wild Bone Company on the top with like dogs, which is not direct enough for you. Mm-mm. And you are going on and on about how all animals have bones. And somebody's comments like, wait till he hears about invertebrates. I love the comments on the YouTube shorts.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Do people talk to you about that?
Seems like everybody had a really good time. Glad you guys had a good time.
It's all on your wife.
I know.
It's all on Mrs. Wiggins.
I know.
I get a text message, Halloween trick-or-treating night, which for us is the night before Halloween, and out of the blue, and I mentioned this to you that day, the last time your wife had texted me was March. And she says, hey, did Ryan tell you about the time he ate beef jerky and didn't realize it was dog treats and fed it to our kids? And then it ended up by saying, you should make fun of him on the air if you haven't yet. That's what his wife said to me. I never would have brought it up if I had to do the right thing by your wife.
It's not cool that she did that because I had brought in the jerky. I had intended to bring it in.
You didn't get to do it on
your terms.
Yeah, you didn't get to do it on your terms.
That's good radio, but I had to present it correctly.
She saved me, dude.
Did you go home and talk to her about that?
Yes, I talked to her about that.
Did she think it was funny?
You know what? No, we had about 2 days where we wouldn't talk.
That's not true.
And then finally...
That's not true.
I will say I really appreciate, though, the people who got onto the comments that day, whether it be in the YouTube Live or on the short, and said, yeah, I've done that.
There were those people.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
There are other people who said I'd still try it.
That's true,
like,
too.
Even, like, after the knowledge that these were treats for dogs, they're like, it's still venison. Why wouldn't you eat it?
And to me, that's a bridge too far.
You spit it out because you said it was gross.
It was kind of dry.
If it would have tasted good,
I wouldn't have even known. I would not have known.
And we would have missed out on this.
Halfway through that bag, me and my son. Not the allergic son.
My son and me.
The other one.
I. Me? I.
My son and Ryan.
Guns N' Roses ticket giveaway in the 2 o'clock hour?
Yep, coming up.
All right, stick around. We'll be right back.